give a few ideas on what's missing in package calls, what we should improve in the near future. Packagers does a swell job of building packages from source. You can configure the packages during the build in many ways to suit your personal needs. Also, with bulk builds, we provide complete sets of binary packages with the default settings for some platforms. What we do not do is have an easy way for users to create their own set of binary packages with one default settings. What we don't do very well is be easy to use, especially for newcomers. There is no simple documented way to update your installed packages. There is no easy way to see what is available. It's just rather complicated, rather involved. If you know what you're doing, if you know the tools, you can do, you can get what you want, but you need a lot of know-how. Also, it's problematic to use old installed packages to compile new packages. There are a number of issues with that. I'll come to those separately. So, the first focus is package install itself. Currently, we have install scripts that do stuff that many packages need done, like install a new user, create a new user. Those are copied into the binary package that needs it, which is problematic for various reasons. Number one, you have install scripts that are run as root that are part of the binary package, which you should audit before running them. You have a problem if you have a bug in those install scripts, because you have to recreate all the binary packages in order to fix it. If you move all these install scripts into the package install itself, we have one centralized location for them where we can audit them, where we can install fixes. Number two, get rid of all the add commands in plist. I do not want any command that is executed listed in the plist. It's a list of files of the package, it's not some install or deinstall script replacement. We should get rid of all of those, which includes improved directory handling. You should not have to have to list directories you want to remove. If you want removed, it should be sufficient to list which directories the package contains. Maybe add an annotation if it is a shared directory, but I think package install should be smart enough to figure that out on its own. Currently, package install, package add, package delete operate on one package at a time and all the dependencies in the case of package add. It does not consider all the packages I want to operate it on as one whole. So if a package deletes a set of packages, it complains that the first package is needed by the second package I'm going to delete. Well, yes, I'm going to delete that as well, so I don't want to see an error, I want to go to the package to delete. For package add, it happily includes dependencies that only one of the packages I'm going to install can use, and then errors out on the next package. I think that's quite suboptimal. Also, we now mark which packages were explicitly installed by the user and which packages were pulled in as dependencies. We should use this information when running package delete. If I run package add some package delete the same package, I want the same package installed before as before the package add, and not a lot of garbage left over.
Small shell script to exactly figure that out. Which packages are leaves in the dependencies tree and which are also not used by anything else.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Basically, you for all the dependencies package, you just add it to check if it is not used by anything else that is not automatically added, and then delete this, and so forth until then no one left. It's not hard to do, it's just someone has to implement it. Also, I think the package should make more use of the package summary file. I think we should make a package summary file mandatory for a binary package repository, and use that to, before we start modifying anything, figure out if we can do what the user asks us to do, if all the dependencies are there, if this creates conflict we can't resolve, and if to complain before we start deleting or adding packages and leaving the tree in an inconsistent state. Not really part of the package install itself, but I think we should make the RCD scripts included in the packages not require a variable setting in rcconf. Currently, if you copy these over to rc.d and do not add variables in rcconfig, then you get the warning at boot time. I think we should probably make the default these scripts are copied into a place where they are run on default. So all that is needed is if you want to start that service, add a line saying yes to the rcconfig.
The problem with fixing the warning is it's outside package source.
No, it's not. You just have in the RC script, or is it outside? Isn't it sufficient if I set the variable in the RC script itself?
Well, I'm not sure whether it's better, or let's put it this way, because the warning at least tells you something didn't happen.
No, the warning just tells me I did not do something I should not have to do.
Well,
no. We have the problem is this: with the RCD scripts come with the base system. We have all of them listed in the default rcconf file, which works fine. For those with that come with packet source, we have no central place where we could divide the default of no. And also, it doesn't make sense to have to provide a default of no. The default should be no, and if it's not set, assume no, don't issue a warning. Where is the problem with that?
We can't easily do it with the RC script. Because the loading of the defaults and the configuration variables is done later. That would require some changes to be able to do that in RC or somehow itself.
Okay, then let's do that. I don't know, I don't care how it's done. It's just, I just want to be able to place all of them and nothing change all of them in a directory where RC uses them. And if I don't add anything to rcconf, then nothing changes. And if I want to start a service, I just add service equals yes to rcconf and that's that. I should not have to copy files around to start the service. That's the job of package app. Well, this addresses the maintainability of the package source installation by the user. I recently read the package source guide, and users that only use binary packages are rather crafted on afterwards and they're not really part of the structure of the guide. I think since our goal should be that the majority of users uses only binary packages, those should find the package source guide more to their needs and more explaining what they need to do. And rather the second step is, here is how you build your packages if you have to. The second biggest step is an easy documented and supported way to update installed packages, which basically is one command that says update all the packages and it figures out what to do and how to best to do that and then do that. This is a rather complex topic and will be the topic of the talk with Thomas as after the talk. There is currently no easy way to update Bootstrap packages. This should be fixed. I think it's as easy as copying the files we need from the old package, then building them in some staging directory, pointing the corresponding tools variable to the copy, then building the new package and installing it. Then with the parallel bulk bit framework, you need a second prefix where you have the pbuffs installed. There is no easy way to maintain that, to update that. We have to figure out a way how to do that and document that. And finally, who uses the category subdirectories and the symlinks in them, the packages directory? So why add another level of indirections? Why not just simply get rid of the old directory and possibly of the category subdirectories and the symlink file?
Because I'm using only the old directory.
Excuse me?
Because I use only the old directory. I don't use the other directories.
So just add a symlink of old dot, and your case is covered.
You mean?
What I'm suggesting is move everything up in the packages directory.
On that,
the binary packages of the packages directory. The old directory is replaced by a symlink to dot. The backwards compatibility, and after some time, it will be removed. In order to make more users be able to use the pre-built binary packages, we should provide more packages. We should be able to build packages with different option sets, not just the default option set. This isn't hard to do. The hard part is figuring out how to name them and how to name the resulting binary package files. Currently, there are a few tools to use package path to figure out which package you want to have installed. This is no longer sufficient as you build multiple versions from one package path. We need a new locator syntax that specifies exactly one of these packages. In a way that when we later update it, it gives the package the user is expecting. So if it chooses a specific version of a specific option set, that should be reflected in the new version this points to. If just uses the default, it should be the new default. Something which is a lot of work, and I don't know if it is worth the effort, but it would be cool to have is the sub-packages, which means we build multiple packages from the same directory. That each contains part of the directory. For instance, the server and client path, or the library itself and the header files. The hard part here is how to specify which file is part of which sub-package in a way that is maintainable. What would be extra cool is, also what is hard is how to specify which dependency is a dependency of which sub-package in a way that is maintainable. What would be extra cool if when building from source and you say you only want some of the sub-packages, that it does not have to install all the other dependencies and build all the stuff that you're never going to use. If the upstream package makes that easy, some of which stuff does, some of which don't.
I think that the big problem with that is making it easy to use for the users, because there are too many cases where you think you have installed the program and then you forgot to install the header that only is used in this case package and so on and so on.
Yeah.
So I think this really goes against what you discussed on your first slide.
It depends. The average user who uses the binary packages, the official binary package, this is no problem because all of those packages are available. And if some new package pulls this in as dependency, then that's...
So you mean that when the user says, I want to install GCC, then he will get all the sub-packages? Or will he get the... GCC without the, so he need to GCC and leave GCC
question.
Package and so on and so on.
Probably creating a meta package that installs all the sub packages is a good idea. We would need a clear policy on which kind of packages we usually create, what they contain, what they are needed for. So if we go the route of having the shared library and the header files in separate packages, we should have this well documented. And if you are going to develop the system outside of package source and use the libraries outside of package source to compile, then you have to also install the header package. Yeah. Well, improving package source itself, make the infrastructure easier to hack on, which means better documentation, which means fewer scripts embedded in makefiles, make the scripts more simple, maybe move some of the more complex scripts into their own C program, which will be installed as basic dependencies like we did with Digest. Simply reducing the unnecessary complexity so that new developers more easily and more quickly can gather enough know-how and enough experience to improve and change our infrastructure. The next part deals with using old packages to build new ones. Currently, the list of dependencies to BuildLink is taken from the BuildLink 3 file. So if that's changed from the point in time when you installed the package to when you're going to use it to build a new one, you get a rather obscure error that it is not possible, that it cannot BuildLink some dependencies you do not have installed because your version does not need it. So you should simply copy this list at build time into the package, and then it's, when the BuildLink that package, you take the list from the installed package and building those dependencies. Mm. Another point is currently we have no way of saying that a newer version does not fulfill a requirement. The main problem here is the shared libraries. If I link against version 1 of the shared library and the newer version of the package installs version 2, then I can't use the new version to fulfill my dependency because the program just won't run. One way to fix this is to use the provider to provide lines we currently have in BuildInfo to figure out if all the required shared libraries will be provided by the package I'm going to use as dependency. Another way is to specify the minimum version to which this one is compatible. So if say I built a package against version 1.2 of libfoo, of the foo package, and now I have the foo package 2.0, and the foo package 2.0 says I'm only compatible back to 2.0, and everything below you can't use me to fulfill this dependency, then we also know that this won't work. The advantage of the minimum package compatible version is it can be used for stuff other than shared library. The disadvantage is we would have to maintain it manually, whereas the provider requires lines are automatically created and can be automatically checked without any need for the package maintainer to update the variable. Also, I think we should remove the minimum required version for BuildLink 3. Just because a newer version is out in the package source does not mean I can't can no longer use my old version, which currently it does, unless you specify more other depends, which I think is a half-hearted half-hearted try to fix the previous problem with the open-ended dependencies. Also, the next one, which I don't quite understand why we do this, which causes a lot of churn. If the major version of a library bumps, then all the packages that use this library get the package revision bumped.
This is so you know that a particular binary package in E5 links against the old version, and E6 links against the new version, together with the point before. So we have binary packages that are known, it's new enough.
Yeah, but I think it causes more problems than it's trying to solve.
I think the only clear solution.
this moment does not do that, not at all, sorry.
At the moment, it fails to do that because we don't enforce the minimum version consistently, and we also don't allow two versions to coexist at all.
But with having two versions coexist, you run into different problems. Like if you use two shared libraries, with both of them use the same shared library's dependency, and use different versions of that library, then you have two different versions of the same library linked into the same program, which is asking for trouble. You have to check for that. You can't allow that. That, that in general doesn't work. So having multiple versions of the same shared library installed at the same time would be something we get with sub-packages. If we move the symlinks and header files into a separate sub-package, then you can have multiple versions of the same package installed. Not for free, but it makes it possible. But still, that does not solve all of the problems with shared libraries.
No one really has a
The real problem of this is that for sure, for third-party libraries, you don't observe the first rule of the second rule of major version bumps. If any of the dependent libraries has version number bumps, you have to bump the version number. No one does that for third-party libraries, and that is the base of all the other problems.
Even worse, what happens if the maintainer of the shared library messed up or changed the API didn't bump the major version? You have to do that. We have a number of good examples of that as well.
Yeah, you would need automated tools to test that. But I don't think that's in scope for package source. And my final point is we need a way to specify dependencies that are needed for the test target that will be installed before the test target is run. Currently, there is no way to specify that. Some packages need, for instance, Paul or some unit test program to run the test. I think recently I was added that adds these to be installed to the build dependencies if package developer is set. I don't think that is a very clean and good solution. So, any other suggestions, any questions, any points I raised? Anyone interested in implementing any of them? Yeah?
I'm interested in making the infrastructure easier to hack on, but that'll be part of my talk also.
I originally considered the talk for the second item on the left side, but too much work to finish that. You will get something to analyze for that soon.
Excuse me?
I will have something to discuss in detail for that part soon.
Okay.
If I get enough time to work with it, I'll be working on making the binary packages more usable.
And that's what I can do.
But in what way does it work? When I think more time for that, it's not good.
Except for that, you know that many people were actually using the binary packages.
Many great libraries are.
actually use binary packages in Solaris. But I build them all myself. Yes.
I know for sure that many of the Dragonfly users are actually using binary packages only. On the other hand, for Dragonfly, most of the time you have current packages which you don't have on NetBSD. So this changes the situation quite a bit.
And also Dragonfly, as NetBSD, has package source, it's native package manager.
Yes.
So
Dragonfly is of course a bit different because this is the only native package system there.
The difference is how many components for NetBSD exist? And I think I'm currently still the only person to do regular bulk builds for package system, not NetBSD. And part of the problem.
That may be true also.
But I think also here that we are trying to solve an unnecessarily hard problem. Because if you look at how to use binary package, this combination of different versions and so on, if you look at the user downloading from a stable branch, it is built from a consistent set of packages. I think we can assume that he always wants to use the latest version of the packages. Because they're built from the stable branch, it's only critical update that goes to the stable branch. So we do not need to handle conflicts or dependencies. Okay, he may want to go to the next stable branch in the future,
I think
it's okay to update everything then.
I don't think this is actually true. Because for many server installations, you can't say you have to switch from this branch to the next now.
So
this is just something that many server installations can't do. They need at least 3 months' time to decide when to set aside the maintenance window to update their.
But then you build your own packages.
You have to make your own packages indeed.
So how do distributions like Debian handle this?
I don't know.
Yeah.
At least the core, by basically not changing the system for.
Yeah, but they have security updates for some of those.
Yes, but they also have a lot more people than we do.
Yeah,
but
how technically, how do they do it?
Well, if you take Fedora core that I use at work, they're always. I have no choice. I have to use the latest version of all packages from the stable branch I am.
So, and if there's an issue with the, I don't know, OpenSSL library?
Yeah, then they update
it. If they do the bug, they fix the bug, they don't upgrade the library.
So they don't, they fix it themselves, they patch their existing
version.
Sometimes just people are getting wrong.
Most of the time they have the versions of packages on their release branch just pretty much frozen and you just patch the fixes.
Which is lots of work because you can't benefit from upstream load and you just have to backport and it's very effective. Which is not something we can do.
Yeah, but I also think if you have this kind of requirement that you must be on this branch, you cannot do whatever, such and such, then you probably do not want the pre-built packages anyway. You want to build them yourself.
Why?
No. Well,
yes.
Not necessarily. I mean, I can understand that if I were to run a Unix system for some production use, I would probably not want to make some weird upgrades to the next release, blah, 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 for unnecessary reasons.
Yeah, but then you're on the stable branch and get the latest from the stable branch with all the
still
might
have to requirements that
right, and again, the stable branch has the security update. You are in the stable branch, therefore you want the latest package of everything.
Okay. Which means that somebody has to backport things.
Yeah, but we do that.
But we only do that for a very limited amount of time.
Yeah, exactly.
Basically 3 months is a reasonable period to backport changes to. I mean, we don't have a completely different version of PHP in current than we do in on the last branch. They are mostly the same. And in 3 months, only so much development can happen. If we wanted to extend that to a year, for example, the situation would be quite different. I mean, just look at where we were 1 year ago.
Sure, but I think that if you are not in a situation where you can go to the next stable branch when the old stable branch is made obsolete, then I still don't see how you can be able to use any packaging system, because your packages will be randomly upgraded instead, because of the SSL library was bumped or whatever. So you still more or less must use the latest version, but it will be less predictable.
Perhaps. But with the latest version, you have the problem if you later have to add another package. This currently does not really work if your installed packages are too old. Not too old to support a new package, but package source places a lot of restrictions on how old the package you can use is. For instance, by the dependencies hard-coded in the BinTingM3 file, by the minimum required version in BinTingM3 files. So you can then need to say, okay, I don't update my package source tree, or I can't add new packages after, I don't know, 6 months, which both is far from optimal.
To be fair, this is not a package source problem.
In large part it is.
Basically, if you go over something like this 3 month period, you start to run into a lot of issues. Other systems do that as well. Take a look at Debian, for example. As you can't work with all the software that's in stable, you have one of two options. You can either do a backport yourself or move to testing. You can't really mix between testing and the release version.
I am well aware that there are packages where it doesn't work. But for instance, if I'm trying to add a package that hasn't been updated in the last 6 months, just one of its dependencies has been. Why can't I build the package, the exact same package I would have been able to build 6 months ago with my installed base? Why can't I build it now? Nothing that is relevant has changed.
That part is
the problem of package source. And that part we can solve. Yes, which would really help a lot of server admins out there who run into these kind of problems with this kind of software that doesn't change. Or doesn't change rapidly. Yes, they might run into other problems, and yes they might have serious problems that we can't solve or don't have the manpower to solve. But that is no excuse to create additional problems for them. And yes, we don't have the manpower to maintain long-lived branches, which is what many server administrators would really like. What we would need is basically at least 1 year lifetime of a branch with at least 3 months overlap between the old ones to support.
And even 1 year is not sufficient in many cases.
It is in many cases. In many cases, you would need 2 to 5 years with at least 1 year overlap.
Exactly.
We can't do that, because that would mean we have to backport fixes to and we have to maintain upstream branches that have been end of life. But usually for that kind of service you pay a lot of money. Again, for instance, offices in Portland, so on. It costs a lot of money. We didn't understand it, it costs a lot of effort too. Any other questions? Any other suggestions? Any other pet peeves you want to have fixed?
There are many reasons why PHP 4 and PHP 5 might not be
touch on any of these subjects as well, so maybe we should go with that and discuss the